The reality is that they weren't certain about going forward with Jimmy Garoppolo and how he would play. And last night spoke to that. Now, when I talked to Bobby Wagner, the Seahawks linebacker, after the game, he told me one of the things that they saw in this game is that having played the 49ers the last couple of times, he felt that they had started to figure them out. One thing that he and KJ Wright picked up on late in regulation were Jimmy G's checks. And he said that allowed them to break more quickly on the ball. And that's what you saw when KJ Wright almost had that interception late in the fourth. And Bobby Wagner also dropped one late in the fourth. They felt that that was a difference in the game.
Wow. That's interesting, isn't it, huh?
Wow. The checks?
Yep. He figured them out. They sat there and said, well, kind of complicated the way Kyle Shanahan runs this offense, but boy, we're figuring it out because Jimmy G is so deliberate. He's telling it.
Yeah, I think that, I don't want people just all over me right now for I think he's a crappy quarterback.
Who thinks you hate Italian-American?
I love it. Yeah. I am Italian. My wife's Italian.
Okay.
Come on.
Please.
Chicken parm. Come on. I like chicken parm.
Yeah, well,
Wiggy likes
chicken
Italian. Chicken
parm? Is that the first thing we
hear? Right. Wiggy says it all the time.
Italian
deep-rooted,
food.
I don't know what, but you don't like him.
I just feel like the one thing that stood out to me was when I was watching that game,
he
was struggling, and it's not the first time he struggled, and yeah, they have a strong defense, and yeah, they have a strong running game, and yeah, they got one of the best tight ends in the league. I just sat there and said, well, you know what? People were all up in arms thinking that they had the second coming and they had the replacement. The reality is that they didn't, and I think they lucked out with the fact is a game and a half is not nearly enough information, and if the Patriots really, really, truly felt that this guy was all that and more, he would never have been traded. That should be a sign in itself.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I think you're telling me they're going to get rid of the next Joe Montana?
Yeah.
The next Tom Brady? Well, we got to make our current Tom Brady happy, so we got to get rid of the next Tom Brady.
Right.
I don't think it works that way.
Nick is in Brockton. Hey, Nick.
Hey, I'm just calling because what really set me off was the completion percentage thing Lou said.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the attempts, I mean, Tom Brady's throwing the ball way more. They don't rely on Jimmy like they rely on Tom for the game.
Correct. We brought
but
that
I mean,
up.
You make it sound like that 500 it's
yards.
Not a fact.
What's not a fact?
That he has a higher completion percentage than Tom Brady.
He does have a higher completion percentage, but I'm saying, but that's because they don't rely on him to throw as much as they rely on Tom Brady.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little Lamar
but he
Jackson.
Does have a higher
and hold on, guys. And what Tom Brady does is Tom Brady unloads the ball. We've seen it with intentional grounding, too much of it this year, but he throws the ball away an awful lot. That hurts your pass completion percentage. Jimmy Garoppolo still does that. He still holds on to the ball. We saw that twice last night where they corralled him and stripped the ball loose.
Also, if I can say one more thing.
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go to Devin.
Yeah, if I can say one more thing. I agree with Lou that he probably has a lot of excuses for why last night he was bad.
Yeah.
But if you look at his overall season, he's really not – he's not lighting the world on fire. He's more much more of a game manager than he is, like, slinging it out there.
All right.
Well, I think it's a compliment.
Game manager is a compliment?
I don't know why people think that's a negative.
Well, you're managing the offense that you're – coach, your offensive coordinator have devised.
Yeah,
so
like
I agree.
Like Brady.
Game manager is not a negative
just
term.
Like everybody.
Right. Compliment.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has one and it's just different. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is a game manager. He just has a much different game plan
than
Tom Brady has. Right. Okay. Devin is in Rhode Island. Hello, Devin.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I'm calling because of the Jimmy Garoppolo talk with. I've always liked Jacoby Brissett better than Jimmy. I just was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
What do you mean always? When they were both here?
When they were both here, when Brady got suspended.
So when Brady got suspended and Garoppolo looked really good for a game and a half and Brissett came out and couldn't score a single point in a loss to Buffalo, you thought he looked better than Garoppolo did in the first week and a half?
Well, in the Texans game, he won that Texans game.
No, the defense did in special teams.
Well, I mean, I thought Jacoby was better. I've always liked him.
I don't believe that.
That was just my opinion.
All right. Well, listen, that's cool, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that year when they were both playing quarterback, you sat there and said, oh, yeah, Brissett's going to be better than this kid. I refuse to believe that.
Brissett's game plan against, what was it, the Buffalo Bills? Was that who it was?
It was the Bills when they got shut out. Houston, they came out. If you remember, it was like a muff punt, defensive score. He didn't really do anything. He had like a run. But that next game, when it was like a week to prepare for him, he got shut out and lost to Buffalo at home, right?
Yes, because the game plan was so simple. It was so simple. He wasn't throwing it at all. The one touchdown that they had in that game was an end around, a quarterback keeper that he just it just opened up. There's nobody stopping him whatsoever. I think they're both good quarterbacks. I think they're, but as far as what you think you need, they're not Drew Brees, they're not Matt Ryan, they're not Russell Wilson, they're not Aaron Rodgers. I mean, isn't that what you want? You want that guy. And I would say the next layer is the Andy Dalton type, and that is not. I hate the fact that you guys think I'm picking on Andy Dalton.
You picking on Andy Dalton? You always
well, I'm not picking on Andy Dalton because I think he's been in the league long enough where people can identify with the fact that he's never been great. Right. He's had good years.
Had bad coaching. Good players. You're right. Good players.
He's had good defenses. He's good had defenses. Bad defenses, but he's stuck around because he's consistent in the alternative.
Have some fun and play together.
It's so much worse.
All right, Chris Sims updated quarterback ranks. By the way, has anybody noticed that Chris Sims' star is rising? Boy, he is all over that NBC Sunday Night Football now.
You know me. I watch a ton of football and do all that.
He is.
They're pushing him.
They're pushing him.
Well, he's Chris Carter.
He's everywhere. Chris Carter. They pushed out the other direction.
Maybe that's why.
Huh? Why?
Maybe that's why. You putting Chris Sims on there instead of me?
All right, so here you go. His ranked quarterbacks. No surprise. Russell Wilson, number one.
Fine.
Deshaun Watson, number two. I have no problem with that. Aaron Rodgers, okay, number three. Patrick Mahomes, number four. Lamar Jackson, five. No problem so far. Matthew Stafford, sixth. Okay. No. Tom Brady, seven.
Sure.
Okay. Seven for Tom Brady. Kirk Cousins, who I think is not getting enough credit out there. He's been very good. I would put him where Matthew Stafford is. But anyway, he has him number eight. Jacoby Brissett, number nine.
You know what this is? Okay, so first of all, he does this weekly, correct?
He does it weekly.
Who's
you want to know which
over? Like, who's know, 9, 10,
well, I'll give
10,
you the rest
11,
of them
12.
Here, and then we can talk
who's
about
10, 11, 12.
Jacoby Brissett is 9. Well, you want 15, I think. Jacoby Brissett, 9. Dak Prescott is 10th. Carson Wentz, you'll see him this week, is 11. Drew Brees, 12, because of the limited play. Derek Carr, 13. Matt Ryan, 14. And there's your guy, Jimmy G, at 15.
That's where he belongs.
That's where he belongs.
What is odd,
middle of the pack.
What is odd to me is, so I like the way Andy Hart does it. Andy Hart doesn't do he does power rankings, but he doesn't do them every single week.
1 week reaction?
Yeah, it's easy.
It's an overreaction.
It's an overreaction. And
looking
you
for a piece of Andy candy.
Yeah, you lose sense just perspective. It's like, yeah, because you're a victim of the moment. So you overreact. Every other week, I think, is good. And I don't think you'd have, because you can't tell me that Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Drew Brees. Or Dak Prescott is, or Jacoby Brissett, or Kirk Cousins.
No.
All the other ones?
No.
Sure, you can have Russell Wilson, Watson, Rodgers, Mahomes, Jackson, and Stafford. Sure. But Drew Brees, come on now.
Right.
Like, just because they lost? Because they lost to the Falcons?
Yeah, he's played, what, three games, basically, right? Essentially. Three games, I think, or maybe four. So is that why? But, I mean, it's hard to sit there and say, okay, best quarterbacks in the league. Where's Drew Brees? What's he have, 12, 13?
He's got him at 12. I mean, if you I think you'd have Jacoby Brissett's got to get out of there. Dak Prescott's got to get out of there, and then you replace him with Drew Brees. I think there's a lot of Brissett. Brissett didn't even play; he was hurt, so how was he even in there? And I don't even care if he had a bad game. You know, Drew Brees is a better quarterback than Jacoby Brissett.
Rising star.
So what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just 1 week reactions.
I never get these things with Chris Sims. I think he goes through the motions and he picks who he really thinks deserves it. And then he says, who should I piss off?
Yeah.
Who should
exactly
I irritate? You know what? It's not Brady.
I'll
this
get
time.
People talking.
I'm going to pick on Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick on Drew Brees because I played quarterback and I really get it.
All right. Tomorrow's a big day around here. The big fella's going to try to stay awake and alive for 25 consecutive hours, and he's doing it all for the American Diabetes Association. You've probably heard the story. His son afflicted with type 1 diabetes. It really is something that a lot of young kids are dealing with right now.
And adults.
And so we're in adults, and we're going to try to give it a little bit of attention during those 25 hours and obviously raise some money. We've got some unbelievable auction items. So you can go to weei.com/25 and then you can text WEEI to 71760. You can view all those auction items or you can donate. You can do what a lot of people are doing in neighborhoods all over New England, and that is they're creating their own little pools. And they're going the over under for Fourier is 22 and a half hours. And
under.
You right. I'm going with the over.
And you take
all the proceeds and you send it into us, into the American Diabetes Association. It's a fun day. Okay?
It
it's
is
like
a fun
gambling
day.
Gambling
God,
for
this
the
is
day.
Tomorrow, huh?
It is.
Day. You ready?
It is. I think I am. People are asking me, how am I prepping for it? And I'm like, I'm not.
Is it like
not.
A marathon? Are you like, you know,
well, these
you,
people have you running?
Eat the day before? Or
no,
or
what do you do? No, I'm
carb
not doing,
loading?
I'm not
do
doing
do?
Anything different. I'm
I'll
just,
say this. So I remember like game three last year, the World Series?
See, he brought this up. Yeah. This is actually an excellent point. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We did the show from 2 to 6, but okay. Up there it was whatever, right? 11 yeah, we, to whatever.
We
right?
did our show.
Yeah.
After flying.
Did about
there.
An hour and a half pregame. Yeah. After getting in at like 2 a.m.
Exactly.
Woke up, did a show starting at 11, hour and a half pregame, did the game last like 7 hours.
And do
you
remember
something
him?
Like 14 hours of like nonstop. Show, game, whatever.
And you were a puddle.
And I kept thinking, you've got 11 more hours than
I'm going under. I changed it. I'm with Lou.
So that's right, because you had about 17 hours.
I think it was like 14 straight or something
it's
stupid.
Always great to have you here, Lou.
Sure
and,
is.
But you had constant stimulation because obviously the game was you know, you're watching the game, calling the game. So it wasn't like you were getting tired.
No. Actually, you're like wired when the game was over.
And then when the game was over, how long did it take you to go to bed?
I honestly had about 70 cups of coffee for that thing. Oh, yeah, no, it took me a while.
What if we do that, if we turn one of these monitors on, and we deep back, go way back into the Red Sox season, and we play one of the Red Sox games up there?
No, don't do that.
You awake, no?
Do you think I'll fall asleep?
By the way, I think it's safe to say that we have most of the components on this program between 2 o'clock tomorrow and 3 o'clock on Thursday, which is the duration of the 24 hours, that complete the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports history. Tom Brady will join us. Larry Bird will join us.
Ooh.
Bobby Orr will join
us. God, we're missing one guy.
We're missing one guy. God. So who is that guy that we need to fill up that one spot, that one president? We have to put it over Roosevelt's face.
I wish we knew somebody who knew somebody.
Like Bill Russell?
No, we are not. We already got basketball.
Oh,
we got basketball. We got football. We got hockey.
What do you mean,
there's one sport, and there's a baseball guy in the room.
Ted Williams. Can you get Ted Williams?
Just talk to his brain.
The floor is yours.
Bring that in. Just bring that in.
Would Pedro be on your Mount Rushmore if you had
to
pick?
Ortiz.
Of course Ortiz.
David,
why not
come on,
Ortiz? Where is Ortiz? Can somebody reach out to David Ortiz and say he's the missing
Pappy.
Link? That one. Who's that again?
big Pappy over here. You
call
heard?
Her.
She
I think,
knows.
I think we need to see. I think that should be the real challenge.
Mm-hmm. Cardi B.
Between
who
the three
that?
Of
Cardi
us.
B, right.
Between the three of us.
I thought you were good on that.
Nah. Sometimes, you know, the phone stops ringing.
All right.
I tried, though.
Fourier.
Yeah,
Fourier.
I tried, yeah.
I don't remember you.
Yeah, I always been a Red Sox fan, you know?
All right, so
Big Poppy.
It's Tom Brady and Larry Bird on tomorrow's show, Bobby Orr in the first hour of Thursday's show. So 25 for 25. We hope you're listening. We hope you're helping out the cause, and it should be a lot of fun. And the big fella may even survive. 25 hours. The over-under again, 22.5. But I will take this. God, what hour in the process is Gilroy on? Because you might fall asleep.
Gilroy's
talking
at
to him.
2 a.m. to 4 a.m.
Oh, that might be the hour.
I know.
That may be the hour.
I know. Oh. I talked to him yesterday.
Check mark guy.
Oh, God. But we're going to have Larry on, so we can literally replay Larry Bird.
Anus Cantor.
Just replay Larry Bird and just have him just. Play that part
that
again.
Do we hold
play
on?
That part
do
again.
Do we still have Greg's towel?
That's not a bad idea, though.
What?
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, at 3 o'clock to run, like, three of these interviews back to back to back.
Yeah, I'm not. I already asked.
You take that 45-minute Ranger school nap.
No, I'm not allowed. I asked Joey.
You
I said
set
Joey,
the rules, aren't you?
No, Joey, it's technically against the rules. It kind of defeats the purpose of going 25 straight because I'm really
Joey
not going 25 straight.
I heard Dale today.
Tell Joey to do 2 to 4 with you.
How did Dale top me?
Dale said he was on for 50 hours.
Oh,
what?
Whatever,
said he did
Dale.
50 hours
when?
Before.
When?
I don't know. He went on
what
today.
What's Dale doing trying to one-up me?
I went on for 50 hours.
When?
I heard him today
God,
on the
let
show.
Get it
see, find the tape. He goes through
someone
and
get Dale
he describes the whole thing. He said 50 hours.
50 hours?
I know what? Big deal, 25 hours.
What does Dale think he is
cake.
Doing right now?
You're doing a half marathon.
I'm doing a
half marathon.
I'm doing a half Dale.
Dale's doing a full marathon. All right, 617.
Bitch.
7797937. All right. Do I still think the Boston Celtics? Lou was there last night, so.
He was. Tyler.
Do I still think the Celtics are a cute little team? All right, well, we'll get to it next.
Monday night, weeknight 6 to 10. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, it's all brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the 99 Restaurants today. Try out their ranch-crusted chicken. It's one of their 9 real-size entrees for just $9.99. A great deal. It's available all day, every day. The 99, always the real deal.
Well, Glenn, the Bruins back at home, back in action tonight, hosting the Florida Panthers. Puck drops at 7 at the TD Garden. And the Red Sox chief baseball officer, Chaim Bloom, said all intentions are for Dustin Pedroia to play in 2020. Are you buying this?
Yeah, I think that Dustin's probably
125 games.
Dustin, you're saying he'll play 125 next year?
Is that what Dave said last year? Dabrowski, 125.
Yeah, isn't it basically? Hasn't he basically been out?
And he's going to play 2 years too. He's going to play shortstop. Bogey's going to move to center.
That's not a lot of pressure there
for him. Not just you know.
I hope he does. Yeah, I mean, the guy needs to go out with you know something.
Yeah, but what do you expect him to do? They have a contract with him. Do you think he's going to throw the towel in and say, "I'll go away. I'll go home to Arizona"? And I won't take the money. I'm going
to
retire.
He's going to rehab his knee anyways to live his life. But exactly. From what I understand, the surgery he had is not to play sports.
Okay.
It's to live his life. So right. I don't know what's going on right
now. So why are we playing the charade? Why don't you just pay him off, basically say, you know, he can't do it.
Why can't he work? He can be like a, you know, bullpen guy.
Could be a PR guy.
He can't bend.
He can't bend.
He doesn't want to squat.
Hey, speaking of the Red Sox, they're not the only team to steal signs electronically in 2017. A new report today comes out from The Athletic. They have former Astros pitcher Mike Fiers on the record saying the Astros, the team, stole signs electronically during the 2017 World Series team.
This is an interesting story. Fiers, still in the league, too, ratting out the entire organization.
Corrupt league.
He said they would have a TV monitor with a feed from center field with a camera near the dugout steps.
I still don't understand what's wrong with that. Like, if you're going to...
That's illegal.
What do you mean? So what's the difference if you... you know what? I'm not going to get into this with you because it's like it's some unwritten rule. If you're going to...
No, it's not. That's a written rule. It's illegal.
Wait. If the TV is going to show, you know, the signs, what am I supposed to close my eyes? Close my eyes and not look at it?
No,
see, I'll get in trouble?
I can use the game feed afterwards and look at their signs and sit there and say, okay, this is what they're using.
What if
but
you're just watching?
Game?
If you watch it on your phone, you just look at it.
In game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'm all for it.
It says the Astros players would try to decode their opponent's signs and then alert hitters if an off-speed pitch was coming by banging on a dugout trash can.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I remember that, too. Yeah,
banging on that drum. Yeah.
And finally, the Ravens are cutting former Patriots 2016 second-round pick Cyrus Jones.
I don't want to be happy about his being cut, but it was obvious the dude wasn't any good.
No.
It's the one bad play Baltimore had.
Yeah.
Great punt returner, though.
I'm Tyler Devitt, and that's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
All righty. Winter is getting cooler. Sorry. The winter is here, and the weather is getting cooler, and that means it's red wine time. Game day by the fire with the hot new bourbon barrel aged wine. Sounds pretty good. I had some the other day. They're nice. Visit Chris Gasparo's Fine Wine and Spirits in North Attleboro and Seekonk and look for the 4 Virtues Bourbon Barrel Zin and Cabernet. Check out ChrisGasparo.com for upcoming tastings and events.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
Be taking a bit of a beating this season.
Yeah, I am. But, you know, it's nothing new for me. I've been taking a beating my whole life. But I don't know what it is why I keep getting kicked in the groin. I don't know what it is about that. So we got to figure out a solution to stop that. But like I said, you know, I'm used to it. It's what I do. And, you know, I pride myself on it.
That's Marcus Smart, and he does. He's getting kicked in the balls all year long. Luka Doncic did it last night, flying, coming to the hoop with the extended, you know, leg out like he was Michael Jordan, and he right in the
got him
in the region, and it took him out. I will say this about Marcus Smart, and I said this a couple weeks ago that I thought he was the heart and soul of this team because anytime the team starts to put their head down or feel a little bit complacent, he just goes out there. He is a dog on that court.
Think about what he's done recently. I mean, last night there's times when he's covering Porzingis.
Yes.
And Porzingis is backing him in, right, and he's making it hard on him because he's physical. He had Kevin Love. He had Giannis. Like, you know, and he's just giving up inches everywhere on the court, and it doesn't matter. You this guy is, and people have said it before, like, he's the leader of the team.
No question.
They're not going to put a captain, they're not going to put a C in his jersey. Probably not. But he's the leader of this team. So that's why the couple games ago and the outbursts and him and Brad not, wanting him to stick up for his player. And you deal with all that stuff. You ask this guy to be this way on the court. Right? So you have to deal with some of it.
Yeah, you're going to deal with him doing something like throwing a ball at an official during the course of the year. We're going to have something happen. We know where it's going to happen.
I don't know what it is, why I keep getting kicked in the groin.
And not only is he, and he's on the floor where they're leaving him alone right now because they know he can't shoot from the perimeter. And guess what? He's shooting from the perimeter. He's been pretty good at it so far. I don't believe that's going to continue either. Because there's a track record there. He's been in the league long enough. You know what he is. But he is the heart and soul, and he can defend at any position. I don't think there's a better overall defensive player in the league. There might be guys who have a better reputation, but their reputation is built on one position. You talked about Porzingis. He's out there on everybody and anybody. No, and they switch all the time.
The other thing that's kind of missing, when he first got in the league, there was this flopping that he would do that was just, drove you nuts. It's not nearly as bad.
He's a better actor.
Is that it?
I think he's a better actor.
He took acting classes.
He took acting classes.
Okay, you're making it too obvious. Yeah. Less is more. Yeah. Now go.
There's a lot of acting in that league. And I think he's just gotten much, much better at it. You can see when he's trying to draw the charge, and now he'll be in the circle, and he'll slide the foot out of it. I mean, he's cute. He's got it all figured out. I just think he's the type of guy, if you want to be a championship contending team, you need a guy like that.
Well, you know what else you need? You need friendship. You need camaraderie.
Yes.
You need brotherhood. You need fellowship. You need just need to like each other, because I didn't know that the only thing that was missing from last year's team was just there was friendship. They were buddies. They didn't laugh together. So the other night, Sunday night, I'm doing Sports Final. I'm on there with Steve and Mike Reese and Maxwell comes in. Cedric Maxwell comes in, and he does his Love Celtics Max. Minute. Yeah, everybody loves Cedric, right?
It's the best. Story
so
time.
He told this story about being on a bus, with the guys in the back, and he related it to, how this is a sign that things are different and this team is going to go far.
I was on the bus with him the other day, leaving Charlotte.
Yep.
We're riding by one of those restaurants, Popeyes, that had all the chicken and everybody's lined up there. Now, there are about five or six players in the back. They all start talking about it. They all start laughing. In the middle of it was Gordon Hayward. In the middle of it was Kimba and the younger players, and they were all laughing. That builds chemistry over and over again.
No question.
And that's something we didn't see in the last couple of years. Laughter, when you get that on a team, I think is a really good thing. So that's the inside story I'll tell you about the bus.
You saw the chicken last year. You just didn't see the laughter. Everybody was eating.
Yeah, everybody.
But they were eating alone.
Yeah, they were eating alone.
Everybody in a different seat.
Everybody essentially had their phone. And they were locked in their phone, and they were in their own world. This is the first time I've seen this team kind of disconnect from their phones, talk to each other off the court, and that's a huge thing.
So that's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
Popeye's chicken sandwiches brings people together.
Laughter was dead last year.
But Max brought this up one of the post games. They interviewed, I think, Marcus Smart in post game and actually brought it up with him about how, this day and age, you don't see guys in the. Everyone's on their phone.
Yeah.
But, this seems like the phones are put away a little bit more, and there's more interaction, there's more communication with this team this year.
All right. So I admit that they are more fun, that Kyrie was an a-hole or a pain in the ass to most of those guys.
They all were.
Terry Rozier, probably the same thing.
They all were.
And the other guys probably didn't act well with him either, so it was a total disconnect. Okay, dysfunctional team, whatever. And they're having a lot more fun, and I think they're far more fun to watch. Now, does that change my opinion about the cute little team? See, people misunderstand what I say about the cute little team. There are a bunch of cute little teams in the NBA. Your Utahs, your Denvers, they're all there, and they're pretty good. And they win between, 45 and maybe 52, 53 games or whatever. But do you really believe in a 7-game series they're a threat to win the whole thing? To me, 2 years ago, this team was building. And the building blocks were there, and they
building
were taking
something
steps.
Something special. Oh, you were going to say it.
They were building a championship team. I look at this team. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. So you sit there and say, everybody will say the same thing. They need a big. They need a big. They need a big. Because in a seven-game series, you can get away with it. When you're playing these 82 night to night, some nights you get away with it. You're not going to get away with it in a seven-game series. But who are they going to trade off of this team? You can't afford to trade any of these guys off to get that big. So I repeat it. It is exactly what I thought it was going to be. At the beginning of the season, you guys were here. I said they're a number three seed. Milwaukee's the best team. Philadelphia is number two. And they're probably the head of that group of Toronto. Miami is certainly showing some life here. And there's that next group, Indiana, etc.
You know what? But the way they play will provide a lot of hope for the fans.
It'll be like, that's all they need. You'll find out at 3 o'clock in the morning with Gilroy.
Exactly.
There's hope. Hope abounds.
It's the Brad Stevens effect. You're back to where you were a couple years ago. You know, well, you're going to get an effort every single night. You know, defensively, you're going to get an effort. You know, that was probably my biggest surprise. I thought defensively they're going to be a train wreck. You know, and I think
inside, I still think they will.
Well, that's probably, you know, we can sit there and talk about Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker. But to me, you know, you watched that game last night, you watch them recently. You know, Tice and Robert Williams, like what those two are doing, the way Brad's using them, rotation. They're very effective.
Yeah,
we all said that's a huge black hole. They're protecting the rim. They're blocking shots. You know, that little pick and roll alley-oop that Kemba's throwing up to them or Smart's throwing up to them is effective offensively. I think those two guys, because I thought that was the biggest hole this team had. They've been playing very well.
Yeah, I think a big part of that, and we'll see if they're still able to do that 5-6 weeks from now.
Philly's a real bad matchup.
Right, when teams start to figure it out a little bit. But I would agree with you with Robert Williams, and I'll take you back to the preseason. I thought he sucked in the preseason. I thought his defense was awful. He can block shots, and he can come over from the weak side, and he's instinctive in that respect. But one-on-one defense, body control, he was horrible in the preseason. He's really gotten much better at it. And I agree with you. He might be the most improved guy. And, you know, this Javonte Green is an interesting experiment here. He's a kid, an older kid that's been playing overseas. He's athletic as hell. They probably need to get something out of him in the next 5 to 6 weeks with Hayward out. But why do people get offended when I call them the cute little team? First of all, they are little. They're winning because they're out-hustling teams, playing small ball, little ball. That's what they are. And when I say cute little team, I still don't believe this is a championship team. Do you think they can win the championship this year?
No, I don't. But I don't
think they win it.
No, I don't.
Okay, they're a cute little team. What's wrong with that?
No, that's
nothing. But it's not a negative. But you're mocking them.
Yeah.
No, it's not a negative.
Yeah, well, you're
mocking them.
Am I calling them a bad team?
Why don't you say bless your heart?
Bless your heart. They're a cute little team.
Why don't you say, oh, you bless your heart? Oh, why don't you say precious? I mean, those are all the terms and phrases that we use when we want to mock somebody.
I'm telling you, Robert Kraft called me sweetheart one time, and look what happened.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that they're good. Okay, they'll be fun. I admit it, fun.
Right.
Okay, but
go extreme.
But here in this town,
it's disrespectful. You call them cute little team.
I don't think it's disrespectful.
No, and I agree because I don't think they are what you know. Other people sit there and say, "Well, listen, they got the best record in the league." They're the only team in the league that ranked top five, you know, offense and defense. It's about time you wake up and realize how good they are. They are a good team. But, you know, again, are they the top four teams in this league to win an NBA title?
Hey, but I never
that's the NBA.
They're missing a...
I don't think they are.
They're missing an Al Horford.
But they can be that next... They can be what they've always been under Brad Stevens. That next level down of a championship team, a team that's going to battle every single night and you're going to enjoy watching.
By the way, talk about a guy that could use right now that's been terrific in Phoenix, Aaron Baines. Mm. God, I saw him the other night in a game against Philadelphia. He was tremendous. He is playing really well out there defensively, and that was $4 million they had to literally clear out to get Kemba, right? That was the Kemba move, I believe. Mm-hmm. Ooh,
he looks like all of Australia.
Yes, he does look like all of Australia, Tommy. All right, 617-779-7937 is our phone number right here on OMF.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
And the thing that impressed me with Boston is their defense. I thought when they lost Al Horford, who guards everybody and really had a high basketball IQ defensively and offensively, they would really miss him. But they're holding teams to under 42% shooting, 41.7 for the year. That's amazing. But you watch them tonight, they switch a lot of stuff. They put a lot of different people on Doncic. How about they put Marcus Smart at 6'4"
locked him up
on Porzingis, and Porzingis couldn't get a shot up.
Kevin McHale last night on NBA TV. And he's right. Marcus Smart has been, I think, the key to all of this, because if you don't have great interior defense, best thing you can do is really pressure on the perimeter. And that's what they do.
Can you be an all-star just being a high-end defensive player?
No.
He's not
going to be an all-star.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah,
all-defensive team.
You know, yeah. Well, sure, yeah. But you don't get a marquee game to play in. You know what? Let's have an all-defensive team play before the all-star game.
He's in the conversation, and I know it's only nine
defensive
games in
or
whatever. Yeah, he's in that conversation.
No, because he's getting, look at who he's drawing.
Well, people are pointing it out right now that he is defending seven-footers. He's defending guys his size, guys in between.
Everybody.
And
you're starting to hear more now, and we talked about Kevin O'Connor's tweet the other day, saying that they're a player away, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, I mean, who's that player?
Jokic. I mean, you can go to the list of great big guys in the league and say that player could make
the difference.
Who's realistic?
Steven Adams?
No, and Steven Adams not
going
to make
Steven Adams away?
No.
But now it's, okay, trade a wing. All right, so if you take Jaylen Brown off this team, are they as good?
No.
Or Gordon Hayward off this team, are they as good?
No.
Nobody wants to trade, you know, 1-for-18 Tatum, you know, because he's going to be a superstar. But if you took him off the team, are they as good? So who's the guy you're adding? So you can't just add, like, to me, Steven Adams and take Jaylen Brown off this team and say championship.
Listen, Jaylen Brown was the difference for them in the first half of that game last night. He was immense, and he was immense on the defensive end guarding Doncic. He was unbelievable. Even though Doncic ends up getting his numbers because, I said it yesterday, I thought he was a top 10 player. By the All-Star break, he's going to be a top 5 player in
this league. Don't you see that there's a problem in a Bruin?
What do you mean?
A lot of people are having fun. Everybody's friends. Everybody's getting along. I mean, there's no animosity. Nobody's holding a grudge.
So what could go wrong?
Well, I would say something similar to what happened when Gordon Hayward was forced back into the lineup, when nobody thought he'd earned his way back into the lineup.
We don't think he's earned it now.
You want to focus on the negative.
This is a little bit different now.
Is it?
Given the way he played recently, I think the players around him can sit there and say, yeah, this guy, now we're starting to see the Gordon Hayward from before. So get that hand ready, get back on that lineup.
Okay, so fine. All right, so in the meantime, and over the 6 weeks, he's going to be out 6 weeks, Jaylen Brown turns into, he's just dialed in. He's 20-plus. Tatum, same way. Kemba, same way. All right, Gordon Hayward comes back. You're going to tell me you're just going to pull me out, coach?
Nope. I don't think
what are you going to do?
I don't think this is a problem for two reasons.
No,
why?
You guys really are that confident?
No, listen, I still think the biggest pitfall.
I'm Jaylen Brown. I just sat there and signed a new contract. I've been playing great. I don't want to come off the bench.
Yeah, forget about starting or whatever. Maybe he's got to understand that maybe it's an important role to be the sixth man. And by the way, Jaylen, you might have trouble making the All-Star team because you don't have the reputation, but you have an opportunity here to maybe win the sixth player award this year.
Ooh.
And then it really sets you up for an All-Star game next year.
We're doing you a favor.
Listen, here's the difference. And you saw it with Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward is a facilitator. Who can pass on this team? You saw it last night. Late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter of the game, they were having a little bit of difficulty. Gordon Hayward moves the ball. Marcus Smart moves the ball. They don't have a lot of guys to do that.
Nobody's doubting that.
So you need that.
I think what you're ignoring is the potential pitfall that is coming around the corner. Now, maybe they can navigate
it. Talking about ego, right?
Yes. It exists, and maybe Jaylen Brown doesn't have it anymore because he got paid.
I hope he's grown up.
I'm just saying.
You might be right to get paid.
No, I'm just saying. It's just, how does it work?
No, listen, I get it. I think that Jaylen Brown's new contract helps. If you're a sixth man, I mean, listen, I think he's starting, but if you're a sixth man, you're still getting 30 minutes. We play six. This is what we do. We got a kind of a big man rotation going on, but, you know, you still got 30 minutes coming off the bench, if that's the case. Listen, I agree. We had this discussion the other day when Hayward's injury came up. You know, short term, I think it helps. Maybe you talk about Javonte Green. I don't know. Maybe he's the guy that pops. And all of a sudden now it's like you realize what you have, and now all of a sudden you create depth. But the one downfall in the whole thing is you still want Hayward, Jaylen, and Tatum, and Kemba to see if these guys can play together. Four guys, four scores. What does that look like? You haven't had it because Jaylen's been out for a little bit here.
Yep.
Now Gordon's out for a little bit here. So you still, that's still an unknown.
Different skill set, Christian. Two games. No, listen. You could sit there and dissect it and give me the scouting report all you want. That's not what I'm talking about.
You're talking about ego.
I'm talking about history repeating itself. That is what I'm talking about. And I think you're just a little, have rose-colored glasses on if you think that that can't be a problem again. I just feel like there's some ownership that comes with starting for 6 weeks. Yeah. 6 weeks.
Okay, so you, on one hand, are very pessimistic about this. I am taking a very positive approach.
No, I'm realistic.
And I think that they are having more fun because they like each other a lot more. And I think you can get around a lot of that. And Lou's right about the minutes. The bench is not good. This is a bad, weak bench. Now, maybe they develop a couple guys off this bench, and we're talking differently down the road. But right now, they're going to need those guys to play big minutes.
Is there a different status, Lou, between being a starter and being the first one off the bench? Isn't there a certain higher level?
Six-man used to – it was an important thing in Celtics history.
Be realistic, guys.
How many all-stars are six-men?
James Harden?
Well, that's I'm just saying, though, but you could be like the sixth man, someone who takes pride in the sixth man award.
The Celtics had four of them that are Hall of Famers.
Everybody's a Hall of Famer for the Celtics.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, the sixth man, someone who's willing to accept that role, usually isn't a young kid. Isn't an up-and-coming. Well, I'm just saying, it might be a rookie just happy to get in, or an older player that's like, this is my role. But you're right. Yeah, I'm sure he wants to start. Absolutely wants to start.
I think you guys are just, I don't know about you. I think, Lou, I think you kind of understand it because you played the game. So Glenn, on the other hand, he doesn't really understand. He called the game. Totally different scenario.
Kevin McHale, he was a sixth man, and he was also an all-star. So stop it. Okay,
You keep missing it.
What year was that?
You don't play sports anymore. Do you think when Gordon Hayward comes back, do you think he starts right away?
That Gordon Hayward does? I don't know. We'll see.
I'm asking you. Do you think
probably.
He starts? Because last year, I would say one of the mistakes Brad made was forcing the issue with Gordon Hayward.
I think the starting stuff is vastly overrated.
You've never played.
Oh, here
you
we go.
You were never in competitive
sports.
I'm not trying to one up you like Dale did to
me. So you're talking about his ego.
What I'm trying to do is tell you
50
that
hours.
Having your name called to start a game is important.
Oh, they play that music and even the lights are out.
You get a funky handshake. You get the dance. You slap hands.
Oh.
You play it like it's not a big deal.
Lucky comes in there and pats me on the head.
It's no big deal.
Jeff Goodman, who covers all of this stuff, had an interesting point about Jason Tatum. So Tatum goes out last night. He couldn't put the ball in the ocean. He was 1 of 18. 1 of 18. All right. Porzingis was awful, too, but he was 1 of 18. And he says it's a little bit different this year with Tatum going 1 for 18.
It's just not about Kemba, ever. It's not about Kemba in the locker room. It's not about Kemba on the court. And I think, again, the most telling evidence I can give you is Jason Tatum went 1 for 18 last night. 1 for 18. It was up there among the worst shooting performances, I think, not only in Celtics history, but NBA history. And after the game, I was kind of talking to him. And a year ago, he would have been so upset. He would have walked out without a smile. And in the locker room postgame, he's smiling. He's laughing because they won, because they beat Dallas. And the biggest thing for this team is all these guys feel like it's their team. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward when he's healthy. Because Kemba's not a guy who's going to act like it's all about him and it's his show.
Okay, and I understand that, and that's fun while you're playing these regular season games. But to me, when you get into the NBA playoffs, it's the big dudes. It's the not necessarily size-wise, though that does help, but it's the Greek freaks who take over games. It's LeBron who takes over games. It's Kawhi Leonard who takes over games. You can have all these cute little players around you that are good players, that are unselfish, that like each other, and I don't need to be the glory hound tonight. You can take it. But you get into the playoffs, can't play basketball
like
that.
Well, I would say this is where I could see where someone like Gilroy feels like you're mocking them. You could say they're a cute team, but I don't think you have cute players. I mean, you think Gordon Hayward is a cute player, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and
Kemba Walker. They're good players, not great players. So to me,
they're not cute.
Yeah, but I threw it in there. You knew what I was doing.
Yeah, I know, but cute players, like, you know.
Okay. Don't play the Gilroy.
Jay Crowder.
Okay, you're not going on with him at 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to worry about
Avery Bradley's a cute player.
Right.
Those are cute players.
No, they're better than Avery Bradley. We know what Avery Bradley is. These guys are better players. These are good players. The point I'm making is that you need great players. You need a dog that's going to take over a game for you when you get into the postseason.
I say
that's how you win championships.
They might have four.
They don't have four.
I said that before the year. You said you can't do it that way. Why not?
I don't.
Why can't you? Like Kemba, the numbers towards the end of the games were awful, right, the last couple of years. You said he's not a finisher. Well, because on the teams he's played with, he's had to be the finisher. You can double-team him. Maybe because of his height, you could do different things and trap him and make him ineffective late in games. Can you do that with this team? Because if you do it with him, then, okay, maybe that's not his night. You know, maybe it's Jaylen's night or Tatum's night or Hayward's night. But all of a sudden now, you can't treat Kemba the way you did late in games when he was, you know, in Charlotte because of he's got better players around him. So now all of a sudden he becomes a finisher because he's not getting double teamed and all the attention's on him because the other guys.
I think the playoffs are all about matchups and a guy that can just take over a game. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the skill set of these players on this team, if you're talking about anyone that has the potential to do it, it would be Gordon Hayward.
Wait, hold on. Because why wouldn't it be Kemba Walker to take over a game?
Yeah,
because
he's a
scorer.
Tatum.
Okay,
because
he takes over a game by scoring.
He's a scorer. Because I can burn him at the defensive end. Because I can burn him at the defensive end. I can go at him at the defensive end. Yes.
Okay, at him at the defensive end. So he's a liability.
Right. Correct.
Sure.
Right.
He's still. Do you see the end of that game? The biggest difference was Kemba Walker.
Shooting.
He's a scorer. Do you think Kyrie Irving was a lockdown defender?
No. Okay. No, he wasn't.
So why is Kemba Walker is a liability and not a go-to guy in crunch time, Kyrie Irving
The difference is that Kyrie is a player who can take over a game at the end. I'm not sure. Kemba does it simply by one skill, and that is in the shooting, and he did it last night. Hayward has more of a game that because he can deal the ball. Because if you're going to overplay him, he can deal the ball.
I think
he can find the open
guys. You're in love with Gordon Hayward. I mean, like, I cannot even imagine. I can't even be in the same room with you. The pheromones that are coming out of your body are
insane. No, his potential.
But you hear what you're saying.
Of what he was in Utah a couple years ago.
That's what he is. He's a shooter. He's a clutch shooter.
Right. And by
Isn't
the way,
that what you want?
And it is all about falling in love with the personalities. More so than it is the actual game, and I'll give you an example of it. So last night, Jason Tatum has the 1-for-18 game. He goes over to the Auerbach Center last night, and he decides that he's going to go and shoot.
Oh. Okay?
And he puts it up on Snapchat, and then everybody's
look at me, I'm working
it,
hard,
and people are across social media platforms.
He's such a hard worker.
It's wonderful! It's wonderful. Kyrie did the exact same thing.
Brooklyn, right?
Yes, the exact same thing. And we had an hour of people calling up. What a hardo. The guy's a stiff. He's a hardo. He only thinks about. He's just trying to pound his chest and let everybody know he's better than.
Well, of course it is about personality.
It's all about personality.
Yeah, it's about
Gilroy, resume. Who loves, and I admire his emotion and his emotional attachment to the team. It's all good.
I'm going to be angry.
But sometimes logic and reality kind of escape you. So the exact same. He did the exact same thing.
You want to call him a cute team. I want to go on the record and say I'm buying in.
Buying into what?
Buying into this
basketball team. They can win the championship.
That they will be a solid 3 seed, maybe 2 seed, and they will grind out a division, and they got a shot of winning the conference. We'll see how it shakes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay.
I do, yes.
I'm not buying it. But,
yes, because they come at you with four guys.
You're not really going out on a limb here, Lou. I said they were a 3 seed before the season began. So now you're just saying a 3 seed. Maybe.
In your opinion, do they have a chance of beating Milwaukee? Do they have a chance of beating Philly? Your answer would probably say no.
No.
I would say yes.
No.
Okay. So am I going
on the limb? So we have to wait till.
Oh, you know what? Screw it. They're going to win the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
Want me to go on the limb?
That's a little bit. That's a little bit.
Well,
you're going to retract
a
3 weeks.
I think that they have 4 players. And again, you know, for easy Celtics fans, before you get excited for the comments, I still think Jaylen Brown's better than your boy Tatum. But I think they got 4 players.
Well, right, Gilroy, stupid.
Well, we'll see. I think he's a better all-around player. I think Tatum's a little soft. Maybe he will get tougher. We'll see. But, yeah, I do. I think they can because they got 4 guys. Now they got to get Hayward back. All right? But I think they got 4 guys at a high level that they're going to come after you.
Yeah.
And then they got smart defensively. Yeah. Now, the bigs, maybe there's a small piece. They're not going to have. I don't want them. Who are they going to go get? Oh, trade for one of these wings and a Memphis pick. Who are you going to give up? Jaylen Brown?
No, you're not giving any of these guys up. Because then what you do is
you take a small piece of a big. You want to bring back a guy like Aaron Baines? God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. But Phoenix is off to a terrific start right now. Cute little team. All right, 617.
Well, they don't have proven players yet.
No, they do not. Though Devin Book is pretty good. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.